Hey y'all, this is your man Lloyd Spence, and guess what? Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Y'all, the Masters is here, and Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Y'all, the Masters is my favorite tournament. You got to go over there and see the betting lines for all of the golfers. And Jordan Spieth just won yesterday, so I might be dropping a dime on it. All I'm saying is head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Tell them the Noisemakers sent you. Hey everybody, it's your boy Lloyd Spence, and I have decided something. I'm going to dominate 2021. As soon as 2020 ended, I took a good look in the rearview mirror and said, man, F you. 2021 for me is all about self-care and self-love, which means I'm focusing on being happy and feeling relaxed. Mental clarity is the first step to my better life, which is why I've been taking down Sunday scary CBD gummy bears like candy. When my mind starts racing or I need to decompress, I simply pop two gummies and in 20 minutes, I'm in max relax mode. Listen, I had the opportunity to take these and I am thrilled. They are really the perfect thing to just kind of take and pop in at the end of your day and kind of settle you down and get you right where you need to be. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers 100% lifetime money back guarantee. And if the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scaries is in the stress relieving business, not the stress causing business. So I got you a 25% off to prove it. Visit SundayScaries.com and use my promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your discount. That's promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for 25% off at SundayScaries.com. They're amazing and you won't regret joining their squad. Man, I wish I could get back to fishing on the weekends, back like I did back in the day when I was a wee lad. But I can't, man. The time is... Okay, let me just be honest. I can't find the right stuff. I don't know the right baits to go get for Texas. But I'm glad our new sponsor, Monster Bass, is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to my doorstep each month. Premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where I live and where you live and fish. No more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monsters Bass. They know what to do. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide. It's changing the way bass fishermen shop for baits. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand of anglers everywhere. They got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So, if you want to catch a bigger bass this season, head on over to MonstersBass.com and use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. That's MonstersBass.com. Use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. Sign up for Monsters Bass now. Tell them your boy Lloyd Spence sent you.
Popcorn World.
You are now listening to Believe in the ACC with my husband, Mr. Talking Noise, Lloyd Spence, and our brother, Heisman Trophy and Florida State legend, Charlie Ward. And now, Lloyd and Charlie. Go get them, fellas.
Ellington looking for McDonald, lobs it into McDonald. 5 seconds left. McDonald, 2 seconds. McDonald traps, heaves, can't hit. That is it. Stanford survives again. The Stanford Cardinal, national champions in 2021.
I want everybody to be able to say they played in the national championship game. Kispert comes out. That's Tommy Lloyd, longtime assistant with the Hug.
Let's make a little history tonight in Indianapolis. Butler. Oh, right in the heart. Coach Drew Baylor. Complete college basketball's greatest rebound and rebuild with a championship.
First of all, I had to hear the song. That's, listen.
Not that.
Although I do love that song as well.
I love that song as well.
But, man, One Shining Moment is like a male love song. Like, that is the man.
I can't turn the TV off on the national championship until after I see One Shining Moment.
You got to hear One Shining Moment. You got to hear it. Good to see my brothers tonight as we talk about all things ACC and basketball. And today's conversation obviously is going to be a little bit broader. But, man, what a game, what a season, and what about tomorrow is what we're theming out the show today. That's Charlie Ward. He's the only Heisman Trophy winner that's a part of this show. We're working on a few more, but it's tough. They don't just hand them out like candy, even though you can buy the hat. there's Haskins down there doing his thing. As always, he is the pride and joy of Louisville, Kentucky, and Wave 3 News. So, and of course, I'm just little old Lloyd Spence, just hanging out with these two brothers, doing my thing. You know what I'm saying?
Saw a girl get a triple-double today with steals.
What?
Yes, she had 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 steals.
Was it an AAU game?
It was a girls' high school Sweet 16.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. That's going on. It just started.
Yeah.
What school was this? She needs a shout-out.
Sacred Heart.
Shout-out to Sacred Heart. God, with steals?
Steals.
That's impressive. That is impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen her play for the first time earlier this season. The girl, I mean, she's long. She's a junior. She's long. She's active. I mean, more than anything, she's just, obviously, when you get 10 steals, I mean, she's all over the court.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody get a triple-double with steals.
10 steals.
Jeez.
I'm going to get you a name.
Charlie, are you prepared to make this girl an offer to come play?
I have a question.
Yeah. What's up, Charlie?
Josie Gilvin, that's her name. Josie Gilvin. Yeah.
Hey, this year we had quite a few student athletes graduate early in high school to go and play, start their college careers.
Yes.
I ask this question to you guys. Will that be the norm moving forward?
Yes, I absolutely think that will be the norm. Especially for kids now who are used to playing ball all year round. That's an easy, simple transition for them to make. And I think you're going to see a lot of the upper echelon kids. I'm not saying that's every kid. But the upper echelon kid, that's the five-star, and you know, I think those kids are going to start saying, why am I waiting? Especially in football. Why am I waiting till June to graduate? Why don't I just go ahead and go, finish up early, and then head on into spring ball? And that way I'm ahead of the curve
you know, when it comes to the season. So I absolutely think it's going to be a normal thing.
So I'm talking about basketball.
Well, yeah, they've been doing it in football for a while.
Yeah, I was going to say either sport. I think you're going to see it in either sport because it just makes it – honestly, it makes sense. Like, it once your season's over, what are you waiting on?
I mean – I don't know.
No, the season's still going. The high school season is still going.
Oh, you're saying in the middle of a season?
Yes. There's some
– Oh.
Maybe there
– Oh, I didn't know that.
Maybe this year may have been different with COVID. The young lady, the point guard from Notre Dame, she graduated early and came to school. She was late, not late, but yeah, she was late in playing in the season
because she was
still in high school.
I didn't know that was why she was late. Because she started playing it was January, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she finally joined the team. I didn't realize that she had.
I didn't realize that either. So she came because she had graduated high school in December.
Yes.
And then joined the team in January. Well, no, I don't think that's going to be the norm. Well, I don't know. Wow. I did not know that.
I don't even know how you recruit like that.
Maybe, but there's a kid. The kid at Wake Forest, the point guard for the men's team at Wake Forest, he did the same thing.
Well, with that case, and since this is new information, I would hope that there are not a lot of those. I thought you were talking about graduating in December and then getting a semester under your belt in January and going into next season.
I thought you. Talking about the reclassification, because I know that's what now former Kentucky point guard Devin Askew, that's what he did. He reclassified to come in a year early. I didn't know they were doing stuff like graduating during the season.
That's literally coming to the team. That's wow.
Yeah, that's first I've heard of that.
Because of COVID. Because
maybe
a lot of high schools weren't playing until
late.
Yeah. So that's possibly what could have happened, but they were definitely had to be on top of their academics to be able to graduate in December and then go to college, that following month or whatever it was. So,
wow.
I was just curious. I mean,
that's a great question. I wasn't aware that happened.
I would lean toward that maybe being a COVID thing, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think that'd have to be. I can't imagine that's going to be a normal thing. If it is, that's weird. Because why would you do that as a college coach? You know what I mean? Because this kid, if you start in the regular, let's look at all things being normal. If you start in November with your season and then you bring in a kid basically halfway through the season, I mean, that's kind of strange. You know what I mean? Because now you got to acclimate this kid into the flow. And that's not an easy thing to do. Like as we're seeing, it's not easy when you have a full season to do. So imagine
and then with the kid, and for the kid, I mean that's such a big jump and mature, having to mature, and I mean, I'm not a fan of it.
No, I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
Those two kids that I just mentioned, I talked about, they made it work. I mean.
Because the girl at Notre Dame, wasn't she like one of their best players by the end of the season?
By the end of the year, she was one of the best players.
Yeah.
I mean,
she didn't start because she came late, but she was probably one of the best point guard. And then the kid from Wake Forest with the curly, frilly hair, he was their starter.
Wow.
I mean, he wasn't bad. I mean, he actually – looked like he was, like he belonged. So I'm just curious because I'm all about trends, and I see him from a mile away.
Yeah.
And you don't need but one or two people to do it and be successful. Right.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing them, I don't know if it's going to become a norm, but at some point in time, you're going to start seeing kids pushing that envelope.
Yeah.
Of working to try to either reclassify like some of them are doing, or they may just say, hey, I'm going to forego my senior year of high school basketball because a lot of times they sign in like November. I mean, they sign early, this early right. sign period. So they already right. know where they're going to school. And so if they start figuring this thing out, they're gonna be kids signing early and then saying, I'm going to forego my senior year.
Yeah, that would be something.
Because everybody keeps
I definitely can see button. That in football because, you know, they have to be 3 years out of high school. It makes sense for football to start early.
I don't have as much problem with it in football. If a kid doesn't want to go to prom and all that stuff, I get it. Okay. So if you're done, then it's, you know, what's the point of having them sitting around goofing off for 4 months in school? You know what I mean? So I definitely get it in football. Let them go in, graduate, let them go to spring ball, get that, you know, get in and get ready for the fall. That going in season, that is wow, that would be something, man.
Yeah, that's something.
That's a wow.
I think that's this year was probably because of COVID, because there are teams that high school teams that probably didn't play.
They probably weren't going to play. Yeah.
Well, but to that same point though, Charlie, the rule is, if I'm not mistaken, that a player, and we're using that in a very ambiguous way, can enroll, then sit out the first semester and then join the team the second semester. That's the rule, right?
Yeah.
So there could be a way to make that rule work. And you know what I mean? If you, like a kid could theoretically finish in the summer, like do half their season in the summer, their senior season in the summer, half in the fall, and then enroll and play in January. Like if they graduate in December, you know what I mean?
Then they can say,
huh?
I said at some point it's going to happen.
I think there's you may have stumbled into something really that could be something. Because mm-hmm. the bottom line is, young players are looking for paths quicker to the NBA. And if they can find that path, they'll find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the reality, man. And by the way, maybe sometime early next week, we need to talk about probably with the whole show of the transfer portal. My God, that thing is filling up fast. Like
college free agency.
The transfer portal is starting to look like our driver's license office. Like when you get there late, you're going to be in that thing all day. It is just packed. I mean, I am like, my God, this college free agency is here and get ready. And yeah. Think about as we get into the title games, think about the men's championship game. Baylor won with transfers.
Three of them.
three of the best players, but all of them had to sit out, though.
I think they'll take that sit out.
Right.
For the exchange of what they got out of it. So as we start with the championship game, I was going to start with the men, but since we are women, but we're already at the men, so let's just start there. First of all, what are you guys' thoughts on that game? I got to be honest with you. Now, we'll take a humble brag here on the five. We made a pick. I made the guys pick their selections, and Reggie and I picked Baylor. But I didn't pick Baylor confidently. I just picked Baylor. I did pick Baylor to win. So, but I didn't expect it to be that, though. Now, I can't say at all that I was like, oh, Baylor's going to dominate. No. I figured it'd be a game worthy of a team that's been undefeated. You know what I mean? I figured they'd come out and give them everything they can, but eventually Baylor's athleticism would overwhelm them and they'd win the game. But I had no idea that the gap of athleticism was that great. Now, I kept hearing all night commentators say, well, Gonzaga's tired. They're
yeah, I kept down. Hearing that too.
And I'm going – it was just 2 days ago, and they only played a 5-minute overtime. Where's the worn down at? I'm not seeing it.
Well, that's an excuse.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about the game?
Well, Baylor was amazing. If you want to say it in a nutshell, Baylor, I mean, I think they heard, you know, they heard a lot about Gonzaga being, you know, if they win, being one of the best teams in, you know, ever. They heard a lot of people picking Gonzaga. And, I mean, them cats came out, man, like they were all over the place on defense. I mean, the guys couldn't go by them. And then on offense, I mean, they were carving them up, you know, man to man, one on one, just picking whoever it was, and then they would shoot lights out. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, they were making shots at a clip, like they weren't missing, and right. They got a lead on them, and then they decided to continue to pour it on. You know, Gonzaga made a run because they're a very good team. And cut it to 10.5, but the game never was really ever in the balance, like,
no.
You know, close. And I just go back to, you know, I don't know if Gonzaga was tired. That's not the big issue, but Baylor was fresh. You know, they weren't tired. I'll just say that. So, you know, they competed at a high level. They executed whatever they wanted. Their game plan was very simple, and their bigs played the role of what they've probably been doing all year, which is setting screens, rolling to the basket, shot goes up, I go and rebound it, and either they wouldn't even looking at the basket on the offensive rebounds. If people around them, they weren't even looking at the basket. They were looking to throw it back out for an open shot. That just tells you they've conditioned a certain way. And they know their guys. I mean, those three guards they had, I mean, them cats, they were getting it done.
Well, I'm going to say four because I don't want to leave Flag loud. Flag was amazing too.
He was the fourth wheel of the guard.
Yeah,
he needed some help. He needed somebody to pass him the ball.
Right.
The other cats, they didn't need anybody to pass him the ball. I mean, they were going for what they knew, and they were making it happen. But I just say those other guys, they were amazing.
They were amazing. They were amazing.
It didn't help Gonzaga with Suggs going out with foul trouble so early in that game.
Right.
Yeah. That was something I don't think they ever really recovered from when he went out early. And I mean, I said Baylor was just on, man. I mean,
can I show some love to Mark Vital?
Yes.
I like Mark Vital.
First of all, we're calling him a big. The truth of the matter is he's 6'5". But
right.
But gee whiz.
You know who he reminds me of a little bit?
Big Baby
Danny. Or Danny, I think Danny Fortson that used to play for Cincinnati. I'll go with
Danny Fortson too. That fits. He's fearless and he's so smart. Like he is super smart, basketball smart. He knew where to get the rebound. He knew how to get the ball back out to the right person. Good cutters. Man, listen, Baylor is a well-coached team.
Yeah.
And I've been saying all season long, Gonzaga plays the game the right way, even though they don't have the athletes. Baylor is what I meant when I said that, because they do have the athletes and they are coached the right way. And you see the difference. It was night and day difference. It was just, man, they looked like those guards. Man, I don't know if we've seen three guards like that in a long time. Maybe
in a while, yeah.
They were special. But the part that bothered me about Gonzaga was like Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
He started to try to do too much on the perimeter and was
starting
the ball over. They were already super aggressive, And he wasn't aggressive at all when it came down to what he wanted to do. So, you know, he was a little timid on the perimeter. And they kind of exposed him in that area. They just like rushed him. Got their hands on the basketball, mm-hmm. and flexions and those types of things.
Was he intimidated?
I wouldn't say that. I just think the moment those guys were aggressive and he started to try to do too much on the perimeter, like trying to dribble between guys and not being, you know, strong with the basketball while he was, you know, at the high post. And that just happens, you know, when you're playing against aggressive guys that are athletic like they were with the bigs, you're going to have some of that. But it was just like an avalanche.
Oh, man.
They just kept coming. You know, the defense was amazing, just their rotations.
Oh.
Their on-ball defense. Donovan Mitchell. Is it Donovan? No, it's not Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, no, it is. I think it is Donovan. Yeah.
No, it's not Donovan.
It's not Donovan?
It's Davion.
Davion.
Oh. Donovan, but so it's Davion. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Donovan comes on here at 10:30.
It kind of reminds me of him. That's why I guess.
Yeah, he's a lot like him.
His defense was on point. I mean, even on switches, I mean, he was getting his body in front of guys, not letting them go by. And then offensively, you know, he was going by guys and just setting up other guys. And I was just amazed at the way they were able to control the game and play their own game. They didn't have to go outside of themselves to try to figure it out. Gonzaga, they never played zone. And then they had to resort to that because they couldn't stay in front of guys.
Because they couldn't keep up with them.
At one point, Gonzaga tried to run a press, and I was like, now y'all know y'all ain't ran no press all season. Why y'all out here trying to experiment?
Let's know what happens when you're down.
Yeah.
And you're trying to find different ways to speed the game up and get the ball back and you press. But all Baylor did was break the press slowly. And then once they were in that zone, they just kept hitting the middle guy and he kept producing.
Yeah. I didn't think a press would have helped. I don't think speeding the game up would have helped them, though, because they were not as fast. They were not. I mean,
at that point, they got to try to create easy baskets.
Yeah, well, then just take what Baylor's doing because they created a lot of easy baskets. they probably scored on a backdoor cut at least 10 times.
Yeah, they're not trying to. I mean, those guards they had, they were strong in the basketball.
Yeah.
When Gonzaga tried to, you know, overplay them, and they just stepped in front of them and, you know, released up top to catch the ball. Those high pick and rolls to perfection.
Is Jared Butler done?
I think so.
I mean, he had a great run, and most times when you have a great run, most times you do.
Yeah.
Him and Suggs are both – they both had those kinds of runs where you shoot up the draft
board. You probably played yourself into I know I would take Suggs in the first round, but I ain't – a late first-round pick for Butler? Man, I don't know. Maybe mid-first-round pick for Butler. He can play, man. He can shoot the rock. He can shoot the rock, man. I was impressed by that kid. And he's poised. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He's the perfect Spurs player. Even keeled the entire time. Great leadership. I would definitely probably take a fly on him if I was a team. But
the first time I saw Butler play this season, I mean, he jumps off leaps off the screen just the way he plays.
Yeah,
it's steady. You know, he like you said, he don't get too high, don't get too low, very consistent. I like his game a lot.
I wish Vital was 2 inches taller.
Yeah.
If he was 2 inches taller, he'd be a first-round pick.
He should go and play football, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's aggressive.
I can see that. He's strong. He's aggressive. I can definitely see that. Got great hands.
The tight end or defensive end.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't disagree with that. He's an athlete. He's a real, true athlete. So I'm impressed by him, man.
Western Kentucky has a guy that's making that leap from basketball to NFL. He's trying to anyway.
Really?
Yeah, he's never even played football, but he's trying to make that leap.
Trying to make the leap. Wow.
Wow. His game, I'm the way he played, I'm surprised that he never played football. He very good at bully ball. And so
wow. So he said, I might as well try to go over here and make this money. Why not?
Hey, if you a power forward, they're gonna give you a look.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. We got a new sponsor tonight, so I won't hold up the show, but we'll take a quick break and let the new sponsor come in. This is Canaan Sunglasses, so we'll give them an opportunity to tell us what they're all about. Man, I'm so tired of this. This is Lloyd, your boy, Mr. Noise, and I can't find my sunglasses. You know what it is? It's probably because I don't like my sunglasses, and it's time to make my outdoor experience better with Canaan. Because Canaan sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger. And, man, I love the Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the exclusive code KANANCAST15. That's KANONCAST15 at Canaan.com to receive my 15% off discount on my first pair. And you can do the same thing. Just go to Canaan.com and use the code KANONCAST15 at Canaan.com and get a 15% off on your first pair. That's KANANCAST15. Canaan, man, it's clearly better. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. There you go.
I'm gonna need that.
You're gonna need. Well, the beauty of this wonderful show and these sponsors is that we can get the discounts or even ask for favors. So we may.
We need to test the product.
Right. Reaching out to Canaan right now, like, you know, these glasses sound very interesting. So I'll be letting you guys know very soon. Okay. The women's game.
That was a great game, man.
I gotta tell you. The women's Final Four for the past probably 8 years, it doesn't disappoint. When did Shoney play? Was that 2012?
Oh man, 13? That was 12. I think they play over Brittany Griner. I think that was in 12.
That's 12. Okay, from that year on,
it may have been 13.
Yeah, from that year on, they don't disappoint. They do not disappoint. They have an amazing Final Four every single time. And this year was no different. You saw, if you came on the show visually, though, for our podcast listeners, you saw us play the last 30 seconds of that game. And, geez, I mean, that's a tough way to lose a game.
Yeah.
It's a tough way to lose a game.
Well, if
go ahead, Charles.
No, I was just saying that it was a well-played game. Of course, you know, down the stretch, they had a kickball that was missed. That was probably, you know, I'm going to say a turning point, but it was key.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to figure out, like, what was the last play?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think there was a play because everybody just stood there and watched it.
I don't know.
Which was cool. But I still have a problem with there were three girls on her.
Mm-hmm. Which means?
I do not care if you are the best player. You got three people on you. You need to find somebody else.
There's a girl wide open in the corner on that one, too.
Excuse me. There's a girl wide open underneath the basket.
Yeah.
Look at it. There's a girl wide open underneath the basket. And, I mean, we get the toss at the end, hoping that it goes in. There had to be something better. And maybe that wasn't what was drawn up, but it just didn't look like
it was. He set some kind of screen. That literally just looked like give her the ball and get out of the way. There was no screen. I mean, there couldn't have been a play call there because everybody just stood there.
Was that just a young was that a young coach mistake?
Possibly.
It felt like a coaching mistake more so than a player mistake. She did everything she could have done to try to get a clean look and a shot. But you clearly don't need a three in this moment. That was an unnecessary decision.
Well, she couldn't get the three. She couldn't get to the basket because there was three people like in front of her.
Yeah, she had to shoot a three because she couldn't. Yeah.
No, I got that. Like, but, I'm saying, where was the design play to get at least a mid-range or underneath the basket or something going toward the basket? It just didn't. I didn't understand the play call at all.
It felt like they figured she could beat her man one-on-one, but like didn't plan for UConn to help. That's what it looked like.
if they knew that she could beat her man one-on-one, don't you think Stanford knew that she could beat her man one-on-one?
Especially when she's the only one even taking shots down the stretch of that game.
Right. So that's where I go back. Is this a coaching mistake? Because clearly Stanford knew that you could beat us one-on-one as well, so we're not going to let you beat us one-on-one.
It's possible that it could have been a coaching error as far as just give your best player the ball and make a play, you know, if for yourself. More so, that's what it looked like. And, you know, I can't say she didn't trust the other girls, but it looked like she was trying to go by, but she couldn't get by.
Right.
Like that barrier, you go this way, it says stop. You try to go this way, it says stop.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you done ran out of time. And that's, she's like, well, next best thing is just throw it up, hope that it goes in. But it definitely could have been a coaching error. I mean, mistake, young coach. Just give a player the ball and then trust, because they've been talking about that all, you know, all the playoffs about, I trust her, she trusts me. And, you know, all those things. And then when you heard Stanford talking after the game, you know, they were talking about, we knew what they were going to do at the end of the game. They were going to give her the ball. And it looked that way.
Yeah.
So they knew.
Yeah. That's a tough way to lose a game. That's a tough way to lose a game, especially when you gave your heart and soul to that game. I'll ask this question, though. Going back just a little bit, what way is tougher, to lose that way or the way that Stanford escaped the Final Four game against I forgot who they lost to.
South Carolina.
So that one, or UCLA Gonzaga, which way was the most heartbreaking way to lose a game?
I got to say UCLA. I mean, a banked-in three-pointer from just across half court.
That's brutal, man. I've actually lost the game that way.
Because you had no control of that one.
I've actually lost the game that way. Almost the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Only difference was we had to go to overtime to finish it off. But we lost the game that way. And I'm still mad to this day, because we had battled back from being 12 down, and my point guard and myself, we were trading baskets, so we had gotten up and we were up by three, so all we had to do was guard the ball inbounds. We could have fouled. well, we're screaming to our guys, because we decided to press that last play out to go full court and just put as much pressure on the inbounds as we possibly could. And our guys are celebrating like we won, like we just put out this great miracle, which we kind of had, but we hadn't finished it. And, man, I can still see that guy coming down the left side of the court and heaving that ball from half court and going in. And I was sick. And I say that because that's the kind of loss that never leaves you, because you're thinking, we did everything we were supposed to do.
And you at the high school level, they did, yeah. That's the national, that's
right.
The Final Four for them.
Exactly. So you've done everything you're supposed to do. So I don't understand. How, like,
I think though you can't. Well, see UCLA though, they can kind of take some solace in that it was an amazing run. They weren't, you know, they weren't supposed to make that run, and that's what you can tell yourself. But yeah, I don't think you get over it though.
No, you don't get over it. That one, that's gonna haunt your dreams. Which one is more haunting? UCLA's loss to Gonzaga or Gonzaga's blowout loss and loss of undefeated season?
I still go UCLA.
You still go UCLA. Okay.
Yeah.
Charlie, what do you think?
I would say Gonzaga. For the simple fact that you got all the way to the championship game and you didn't play your best game. And so that is something that I don't think, you know, it's tough. And I'm still going through it now, you know, with our loss. And that was in the first round, you know, just still trying to figure out, you know, how we can continue to get better. And it was a 17-point loss. And we didn't play our best game. We were a very good team, but we didn't play our best game. And so to be able to, you know, the UCLA deal, I mean, you played your best and you came up a little short. Somebody made a miracle shot, which is tough, yes. But if you know you didn't play your best game or play well at all,
yeah,
I mean, that's hard to live. Not a hard to live with, but that, I mean, it's hard thing to, because you keep playing back, you know, if I would have done this, if I would have done that better or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the UCLA case, I mean, they played the best game they could possibly play outside of, you know, a guy making a miracle shot. And so I just think, you know, if you don't play your best and that's your last game, that's something you think about all the time, especially if you're a senior. If you got guys coming back, then they can rewrite the ship and try to do it again next year. But that's something you'll always remember. That you didn't play your best game in the last game. And especially if it's a national championship game, when you were one win away from hoisting, you know, the trophy that everyone, you know, everyone wants. I mean, that's what everyone plays for. That's why they start, you know, at the beginning of each year, everyone's wanting to be where they were in that position to win a championship. And you don't play your best, that's very tough.
Looking at the way too early predictions for next year, Gonzaga is for sure going to lose Suggs. Probably, I think Kispert is a senior, right?
Correct.
So he's gone no matter what. Well, I guess, I don't know. Is that, how does that work? Technically, can he come back?
Technically,
he could come back, although he's probably going to – is he a lottery pick?
I don't know about lottery, but he'll definitely get chosen in the first round.
Probably. You think so? Okay. So he'll probably be going. Ayayi could test the draft along with Timmy and Nimbahard, although I think both probably got exposed a little bit in the championship game, especially Timmy.
Especially Timmy, yeah.
Yeah, Timmy. I there were a couple of times I thought I heard Timmy's draft stock falling. because I was like, yeah, that's not gonna fly, bro. You can't do that in the pros. Like, and again, it's just better competition produces, you know, you gotta have more basketball knowledge. Although he's not a bad player. I don't know if he was ever really a starter in my eyes, but for sure, I thought he was an NBA player, and I think I still do. I just don't know what kind yet.
Journeyman.
That's probably fair.
To me, he looks like a good college basketball player.
Yeah,
which is fine.
Right, it's perfectly fine. I just don't. Yeah. I don't think his game was really going to translate to the NBA.
I don't think he's
a great college player.
He might be able to come off somebody's bench though.
Yeah,
and maybe make a career out of it.
Well, most definitely can be a bench guy. I mean, I've seen his type of player, you know, be a bench guy.
Because he does have an IQ.
Yeah.
He has a very high IQ. I don't know about Nimbahard. Would you bring in Nimbahard?
I think he's coming back.
Yeah. I would think so too. So they're projected to be number one. It's amazing what a difference a day makes. UCLA predicted to be number two.
they must think that Juzang's coming back if they got them number two.
That's what they're saying. I don't think Juzang is coming back. I would be shocked if he came back. No. And I'm not gonna hold you, but I wouldn't also be surprised if Jacquez came back. Jacquez might be able to stick a toe in there and see what's going on.
Yeah,
he may test it, but he needs another year.
Yeah,
because there's only 21. How many picks they have? 30 picks in the first round.
In the first round, yeah.
And then the second round. I mean, I understand. You know, guys are making. You know, the second round, and then they get a two-way contract for, you know, the D League or the G League or whatever it is now, and the NBA team. So that's an option for some of those second-round guys, potentially, you know, making a roster at some point.
Yeah.
But it's like the transfer portal. I mean, you know, you start getting all these young guys coming out, and there's not enough space, you know, draft, especially basketball, when you only have two rounds. I mean, you can go free agent and what have you, but if you can have a chance to continue to improve in some aspect of your game and potentially, you know, move up the draft board for next year, that's another option as well. But, you know, my motto, make your decision, whatever decision you make, just be willing to live with the results. So,
well, to your point, the rest of the notables, I would say, the first ACC team doesn't show up until number 9 in this way too early draft, and that would be your Seminoles.
First ACC team?
Yeah. The Seminoles are projected to be number 9, followed by the Hokies at number 10. The Duke Blue Devils at number 13, the Syracuse Orange at number 14, the North Carolina Tar Heels with their new coach, shout out to Hubert Davis, we'll discuss that here in a second, and then rounding out the top 25, I think that is it, yes. So interesting, they have a lot of confidence in ACC going into next year. So what do y'all think about Hubert Davis being the new coach, right pick, right selection?
Well, you know my thoughts because we're New York Knicks buddies. So I'm happy. I played against him at North Carolina as well. And so I'm happy for Hubert. You know, he left the broadcast booth and went to coaching. He was one of Coach Williams' hand-picked coaches. Mm-hmm. And he groomed him over the past 8 or 9 years, or however long it's been since he's been on the bench, and I think he'll do a great job. You know, he's mild mannered in a lot of ways, but he's very competitive. He also, and when he played in the pros, he was superstitious. He didn't touch lines.
So, he did what?
He didn't touch lines. Like he would step over lines and like the people line, he wouldn't touch, you know, that line, and you know, just I mean, he was just that type of guy, but very good shooter, smart player. Yeah. He had great work ethic. That's why he was able to play 12 years in the league.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those type of guys, you know, are gonna be great, because I mean, he's just a good dude, and he has that work ethic. He's going to push those guys to be great.
A lot of pressure, or he can craft it, or he's fine. He'll be patient with it. What do you think?
Well, in his eyes, he's going to put pressure on himself to be great, and the guys around him. And so I don't know who he's going to have on the staff. He's going to keep, you know, the staff together or bring in someone else. I'm not sure who that is right now. I'm not sure if they've made the announcement. But he's going to push them to get back to the level that he's accustomed to them being.
Yeah.
And I do believe it's going to take not so much the five-star guys, but finding the right guys for what he is trying to get accomplished.
Are we going to see guys go back to that Charlie Kendrick? The like Duke and North Carolina, you know, I saw Duke take Zion Williamson and they did what any school in America would have done. But I never saw the joy, at least in my humble opinion, of Coach K having to take this guy. Because I think in his mind, he was like, I'm doing it because I have to do it, because that's just how the game is played. But he looked stressed that entire season to me. Because with him, with Williams, with Barrett, that's not Duke basketball. That's not Duke. Duke doesn't just get a five-star, and that's what they do. That they build their team and go get Duke guys. And Duke guys might stay 4 years.
I think he was stressed because he didn't have a bench either.
And, well, that didn't help. That didn't help.
That'll add stress.
I think you're absolutely right. So I just wonder, to Charlie's point, will they go back to going to get North Carolina guys, Duke guys, and get away from exclusively getting five stars, but try to build the program like it was before? Or can you go back at this point?
I feel like Carolina's always kind of been the school that did. I think they were ahead of the game on that. And then Calipari took it to a whole other level. So I think that's kind of like Carolina's thing. Carolina, you know, because they were in the 90s, Carolina was a cool school. Yeah. Everybody liked the Carolina blue colors. And, they had Vince Carter and Rasheed Wallace and Antoine Jameson, Ed Cota, all those guys. So that's kind of been their thing. I think it's new for Duke. And like I said, I do think there was a little bit with Coach K that, you know, it was hard because it's a little bit out of his element to have that many. And then, not have a bench. I think that bugged him more than anything.
Yeah, because he didn't have anything.
Couldn't go to his bench.
Yeah,
but I agree. I just kind of think where we are right now is, and I wonder how much Duke's going to hit the transfer portal.
Oh, I think everybody's hitting the transfer portal.
Yeah, that's one of the things Hubert mentioned in his press conference. I mean, he didn't talk about recruits.
Right.
He said, we're going to hit the transfer portal hard. that is just the mindset that I see a lot of teams going. And I see it hurting high school recruits. That's one or two kids that from high school that could potentially be going to college. But now we have college guys. And I was talking to a coach today who came by. From Albany State to watch one of our players. He was talking about, how a lot of the major schools aren't bringing Division I players over. I mean, it happens, on occasions, but they're going and getting the kids from Drake, Eastern Washington, the Ivy League, they're top players. And bringing them in and fitting them into their system. And that's where a lot of these they're getting these transfers from. And so sometimes a Division I player either goes down, a level. Or with their Power Five, they may go to an FCS team and be the main guy and elevate that team. That's happened as well. So I just think it's a fluid situation. There's no cookie cutter deal. Like, if I do this, it's going to work.
Right.
You have to find the right fit and the right kid for whatever you're trying to get done. But I see people building their bench. We'll start to probably build their bench through the transfer portal. Like, if you don't have a bench, like we just talked about, with Duke, if the transfer portal was going on during that time, they would probably go out and got some guys from Drake, Ivy League, that was some of the best players, and putting them on that bench to be able to help them have a stronger bench.
I wonder if, like, because there's going to be recruits that are, you know, obviously not, they're not five stars, maybe not even four stars, but they could be like high three stars, for example. They're not getting offered as many offers as, from the big name schools as they would because of the transfer portal. I wonder if that means that maybe the mid majors will be able to start scooping these kids up.
Great point.
Maybe have a better freshman. Then of course they'll have one good freshman year. Then they'll be free agents.
Right. So. Right. But that's real. That's very real.
That was the other thing that he was talking about, that Albany State coach was talking about, was, you know, they don't mind a kid coming to their school for 2 years or 3 years and then going to a major program. Because what it does is it gives them, you know, kudos because they develop a top level player. Now, if they're going from Division II to Division II, then that's, you know, they might as well stay where they are.
Right.
You know, at the schools. But if they're going from Division II to Division I, you know, that's, they're like, we don't mind that. And that was his, you know, humble opinion. It wasn't his head coach's opinion, just so if he's watching or someone's watching, he's saying that they want their players leaving.
Finally,
that was a community college at that point. Last chance, you.
final story. We got so much to talk about going into next week, but Chris Likes, this one kind of broke, I guess, today. He was a senior. Well, he is a senior, and for Miami, and he had to sit out. I think he had an injury, sit out most the entire season. I think he only played two games or something. But he is transferring from Miami to Arkansas.
Good get for Arkansas.
Yeah. Well, the kid was averaging like 15 points a game. So, listen, I think the transfer portal is the way of the world. And it's here to stay.
There's no going back at this point.
It is here to stay, and these kids are going to take full advantage of it.
Is this the one year waiver? Like, you can transfer one time, so that means once you transfer, you stuck. I mean, you got to stay at the school, right?
Right.
I think you can leave again, but you have to sit out if you leave again.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. You can go play immediately this year. Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting to see how this all unfolds. We will be right here. And by the way, on the women's side, we like to give fair credence here on this show. The way too early top 25 there. UConn, surprise, surprise, UConn's number one. South Carolina, huh?
They have everyone coming back.
Yeah, everybody coming back, yeah. South Carolina, number two. Stanford 3, Baylor 4, Maryland 5, Louisville 6. That shows up as the first ACC team, followed by North Carolina State at 8. And I think they are the only two. Oh, I stand corrected. All five starters are expected back in Tallahassee. I forgot about that. So they are at number 17. And then Georgia Tech, along with Virginia Tech at 23. So that rounds out, and then Notre Dame at 24. So that rounds out the top 25. Way too early predictions.
Wow, Notre Dame at 24. Wow, after the season they had. Wow.
Well, I think they're another one of those ones that everybody's gonna be back and better, and then their freshman guard, like Charlie said,
should have another year
in the game. So she'll be a lot better than she was. So. Yeah, so it's gonna be as great as college basketball has been, it's gonna be even better next year.
That brings me back to this point where those guys, the young lady we just got finished talking about, and the high school kid, this year was a wash. So for them to come in, really they didn't end up losing a year.
They didn't lose a year.
So that,
yeah, that's a great point.
That probably be this COVID where everything was given back to, you know, the student athlete as far as the eligibility. So this probably won't happen again. Because this would count as a year. You know, if someone came in and played mid-year, I would have to guess that it would count as a year.
Yeah. Have to.
No, it would have to,
Unless somebody's deciding they want to leave early. I mean, that's another deal, but.
Yeah. Well, we're right out of time. This was our show. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back to do it all over again next week. Shout out to all of our wonderful sponsors, Bet Online, Canaan, Monster Bass, Sunday Scaries, and Popcorn World. So we appreciate all you guys. Popcorn World. Popcorn World do everybody's theme music. Or the guy that did the Popcorn World theme music to do everybody's theme music. You guys got any parting shout outs before we go?
I'm good. What you got, Charlie?
Well, I'm going to go on a quick rant. I had an opportunity to speak to athletic directors today, committee. And I was speaking about implementing a shot clock here in Florida. I had a Devo last night from Rick Warren talking about naysayers and how to persevere and continue to move forward when you have naysayers. I gave a nice presentation about the reason why we should implement a shot clock here in high school. Gave them 4 years to figure out how they can get their own shot clock at the school 4 years from now. And they chose to not endorse it.
Oh, wow.
But guess what? That is not going to stop me. I am going to keep pushing because I know where the game's going. And we keep pushing these envelopes. I just got finished talking about the forward thinking. Kids leaving school, potentially leaving high school to go and play college early so they can keep pushing the envelope. That's what we get into. Everybody's pushing the envelope. And so I just think it's time for us in high school sports. We have 9 states that have said, I think this is the right thing to do for our kids.
Right.
And they've done it. I'm just saying all the other states, come on, people. Let's join forces with them 9 and let's push the game forward. It's not about if kids are going to school, college and all of that. It's about the experience. It's like when we put that 3-point line down back in 1986, 87, whatever it was, man, it wasn't about us playing college basketball. It was about us, the experience of playing like the college people, the pro people, the people we're watching. So I just say to all those who turn me down with my proposal today, it's not just mine, but others that with the implementation of the shot clock, I'm going to keep pushing.
I like it, Charlie.
Yep.
I like it.
And Charlie, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Oh, God. Please keep pushing. We've had that discussion offline. It's the fact that it's not a shot clock in high school basketball is one of the most ridiculous things that exists on earth today. So let's come on. If you really truly are about the player and about the experience of high school basketball and what it means and where it can go, let's do the right thing. That's the right thing to do. Bottom line, it's the right thing to do. So I fully endorse that rant, Charlie. That's a good rant. I'm here for that rant.
It won't be the last one, I'm sure.
No to the nation. We're counting on it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard us, you've enjoyed us, we've enjoyed you. We'll be back next week to do it all over again. Believe in the ACC. That's Charlie Ward, that's Kendrick Haskins, I'm Lloyd Spence. We'll see you.
You have been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward and Lloyd Spence. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You can also watch Charlie and Lloyd
and Kendrick
on Facebook on the Noisemakers page and on YouTube on the Noise Media YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and follow on all our platforms. And we will keep taking you inside the ACC.